hockey's approach was to get the return to play sort of done and get that information sort of figured out before you got to the money, where baseball did the opposite. And right now, and time will only tell, it looks a lot better in favor of hockey and how they've been able to do it.
Publicly, yes, but I can't imagine, Mark, that behind the scenes, they weren't both completely interlinked. Every conversation has to do with one another. So, you know, I think what hockey did well was not have the discourse around the sport be predominantly about the business of the sport. It was more about the hockey and player safety, which I think is where hockey would prefer it to be, whereas baseball, even though they're all, both sports are completely intertwined. You can't have the CBA stuff without the return to play. You can't have the return to play without the CBA. They go together, but baseball's very publicly became about the CBA and money and guarantees and prorated and stuff like that, which is less appealing to fans when everyone in the world is going through these kind of things. So I don't know if they did a good job separating it. They might have done a better job with their messaging, not letting the CBA, the business, become the focal point of the negotiations or of their decisions.
And it's given our next guest a lot of content to write about, to talk about. Our Blue Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell, joins us on Overdrive. How are you, Scott?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
We're good. Are you enjoying these times where it is chaotic, but as a reporter, it's not like you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I got nothing to write about today. It's too dull, right?
Like, what am I going to do today?
Yeah, what am I? You just have to wait and see what the next story from the next MLB team trying to do their own testing. Like, it kind of writes itself in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, the only thing we're not writing about is really baseball at this point. It's been CBA negotiations. It's been, you know, back and forth between unions and the league. You know, now we're into health protocols, which is really kind of strange for a lot of us, because there's a lot of new protocols. And that's really what we have to remember, is everything is new for everybody in this instance. And it's really, there's no normal at this point, and everyone's just trying to get through it. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about all the CBA stuff and the labor negotiations that baseball went through, and that was a real struggle. And look, I think we're seeing at this point all the delays and everything kind of heap onto each other, and they're trying to do a lot in a short time frame here, and it hasn't started well.
No, Scott, not well at all. That's an all-time understatement, and it's across the league. It's not an isolated incident where it's one team perhaps, but it's several teams, including the Jays. They had to leave some guys back in Florida, I think, because of a positive test. What's the latest on the Blue Jays and their current health situation?
Well, that's the thing. They were trying to charter up here on Sunday, which a lot of players did, and they had a case that came after the original round of intake testing that obviously was a huge issue, not just because of the one positive test for a player, but the fact they had to quarantine about a dozen players. They couldn't get on the plane up here, and now they've got to go through a process that really, it's going to be at least a few days of delays before that group of players can get back up here. So that's about a dozen guys off your 60-man player pool. So they're working with about, you know, 45 guys at the stadium right now and doing little private workouts. We haven't been allowed in yet, so that'll happen later this week. But it hasn't been a good scene. And when you look at all the logistical problems the Blue Jays have, it's really put them behind. And we'll see how it affects them on the field and how their readiness is. And they're waiting for an answer from the federal government, hopefully by the end of next week. Mark Shapiro's hoping to see where they're playing their home games. And it's just been a mess league-wide. And there were Blue Jays tests that didn't come back on Friday, and staff members couldn't get into the Rogers Center on Monday. So there's been problems just about through every process of this. And it's not the Blue Jays that are alone. Mm-hmm. But when you heap on the logistical issues that they've had to face, man, it's been an interesting week and a half, and it's really going to be another interesting 2.5 weeks till they try to get to opening day.
He is TSN's Blue Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell, joins us on Overdrive. And, you know, you said it, we're all craving just to talk baseball. Like, I would love to ask you right now, what did Nate Pearson hit on the radar gun today? Or does Vladdy look better at third base? But there seems to be inconsistencies with the coverage of these practices, because you just said, like, the media has not been allowed to go to these Blue Jay practices, and there's only been a couple. But, you know, we've seen, you know, on people's Twitter feeds, Yankee practices and the Pirates. And, you know, we saw Masahiro Tanaka unfortunately get hit by a line drive from Giancarlo Stanton. Luckily, Tanaka seems to be okay. But what is the protocol here, and when will the media be allowed to report on some of the nuances that do happen in these practices?
Well, it's looking, it's trending towards Thursday at this point, and essentially there's protocols for us as same as there is for the players. We'll have to get temperature checked twice in there. We'll have to wear a mask the entire time. We're not allowed on the field, no field access. So you'll see some of those press box videos that have become so popular on Twitter over these last couple days. And that's pretty much it. There's no face-to-face interaction. So we'll talk to do some conference calls, do some Zoom calls. And that's the new way of the media these days. And you know, we'll try to report on what stories are out there. And I think the big story really is just the environment these guys are spending their time in and how they're practicing. And do they believe they're going to be ready to play a baseball season in 2.5 weeks?
And that's the wild part, Scott. It's 2.5 weeks. It's so close. And yet it feels like they're just getting going, trying to figure it out. As far as the access to media, you know, so much of the locker room, which I don't know if we'll ever get back to, is kind of finding a quiet moment, having maybe a word by yourself or having a one-on-one interaction and getting some information from players that maybe not the entire press corps would have access to. Is that going to be possible? Do you have to request if you want to talk to Vladdy specifically on a one-on-one? Are any of those things going to be possible? Do you know?
Yeah, the quiet conversations are over. So the little context that you get, that's not happening this year. And, you know, I'm a little worried sports-wide what the landscape is going to look like when we come out of this, because there's real reasons you could sit there and say, if you're an NHL team, a league like Major League Baseball, to say that the clubhouse should be off limits from now on because of health issues. You could probably easily make a case that there's sanitary issues with having people come in and out where players change and do all their personal business. So, you know what, I think unfortunately there's going to be a lot of changes that come from this pandemic in terms of how media covers players and teams. And you know, we'll see what shape that takes. I know access is kind of what we have and what we fight for, because it's everything that we need to bring stories to the general public. But you can probably look at some of the protocols similar to 9/11, the way things changed in terms of going into airports. I bet there's going to be a lot of things that change on that end as well.
Scott Mitchell joining us with the latest on the Blue Jays and the MLB season, which is supposed to begin at the end of this month. And Mike just pointed out 2.5 weeks. It's not that far away. And yet we don't know where the Blue Jays would play home games. Is there an idea of a date where they need to know whether they can play in Toronto? And is there also a clear-cut plan B for the Blue Jays?
Well, it's Dunedin at this point, and Mark Shapiro's talked about alternatives. They haven't revealed what those alternatives are. They're going to use Dunedin as that first alternative, but a lot of things can happen between now and then in terms of the COVID caseload and what that looks like and, you know, how safe it is to go back there. I mean, you know, you hope we're at the peak right now and things start looking better in a couple weeks, but you just really never know. And we don't know what the alternatives are. Buffalo has been talked about a little bit, but that facility isn't ideal in terms of housing a major league team for an entire season. So right now it's Toronto, then Dunedin, and then there's alternatives that we really don't know about that are probably not what the Blue Jays are hoping for. And Mark Shapiro said last week he's hoping 7 to 10 days, which takes it into kind of the middle to late of next week. So they're hoping for a decision, but the federal government is watching this real closely, and they're not gonna expedite any sort of decision when it comes to what the Blue Jays need. They're going to work through it slowly and meticulously and make sure the public health side is satisfied before they move into even getting back to the Blue Jays.
And what we've seen from baseball the last few days won't speed things up, because it's got to give them more cause for concern and take even a deeper look. So nothing imminent probably on that front. What about the actual preparation? And we know spring training, they play whatever it is, 25 games it seems. They're playing all the time. Pitchers getting their initial two innings worked. How quickly will the Jays ramp themselves up to getting close to game readiness? And when the season actually starts, will pitchers be able to go to the sixth or seventh inning? Will they pitch 110 pitches? Or will everyone start a little, maybe on a pitch counter, just to make sure that they work themselves up to that level?
Well, when you look at the position players, they're going to get a few at-bats. They're going to be rusty. That's just how it's going to go. When you look at the relievers, most of them have ramped up to what they need to get up to just based on the personal work they've been able to do. So if you're just a one-inning guy, you're going to be fine. Yeah. It's the starters that are the real issue, and they're going to be nowhere close to ramped up. 3-4 innings max, obviously pitch counts, innings, workloads, limits. They're going to really make sure that these guys are taken care of early in the season. So it's going to look like a spring training game or essentially a bullpen game that you see throughout the regular season for the first couple of weeks, because pitchers are going to be nowhere near their pitch counts, and 5 innings will be even a stretch for anybody. So you're going to see 17, 18 man pitching staffs. There's 30 men on the roster for the first 2 weeks of the season, and there's no cap on pitchers. So you're going to see teams really just make sure that they've got enough arms to get them through games.
And of course, Scott, the Blue Jays will begin this 60-game season in the state of Florida. The season was released.
Perfect.
The schedule, I should say, was released yesterday. And I don't know if anything really stood out to you, because we knew that primarily they'd be playing the AL East and then, a few games against the NL East. But, the times definitely jump out at me, just because you're so used to 7 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and maybe some 4 o'clock games on the Saturdays. Now you have 3:10, 6:40, and a lot of those Saturday games are at night. Is this primarily just to make it a TV-friendly, or are there other thoughts behind putting games at these times for health and safety issues, or just the logistics of trying to pull off this season?
Oh, look, we don't really have an answer from the Blue Jays of why they change times, if it's actually an MLB thing or a team decision that they just wanted to switch up the games. I don't know that it matters. There's no fans, so there's definitely a TV element to it. But one thing the Blue Jays have been doing behind the scenes is doing a lot of sleep research, and they've looked at, that's why they changed their 4 o'clock start times last year. They've moved those around because the day game after the night game has always been tough on baseball players. And as we've gotten into this analytical era, they've really looked at what time it is to host ideal home games. And this is probably part of that. And the Blue Jays are going to try to manipulate the schedule a little bit to make sure they're in the best position possible, because just in just about every way, they're not.
Well, Scotty.
They are not. But I've read some reports, Scott, that they had a difficult schedule. Is that true? Was it any more difficult than you anticipated? Road, home splits, tough start early on in the year. Is it more difficult than we knew it was already going to be, given that we knew their opposition?
I mean, look, subjectively, we all know the Blue Jays have a tough road every single year in the AL East. And then when you combine that with the crossover into the NL East, that's arguably one of the deepest divisions in baseball when you go through the Braves, the Nationals, the Mets, who are a pretty good ball club, and the Phillies, who are a pretty good ball club as well. So subjectively, you look at it and you're like, yeah, tough schedule. And then you add it up and they've got the third toughest strength of schedule in the league behind the Mets and the Pirates. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough road. And when you consider open up 3 in Tampa and then you play a home and home set with the Nationals for 4 games, that's 7 of your 60 games right there. And there's no time to really have a skid out of the gates. Those first 20 games for every single team are actually probably the most important 20 games of the season, because if you get behind the 8 ball, it's a tough road back and there's not enough time.
Well, at a time where we're just we're trying to talk about baseball and baseball centric questions, if you're watching on TSN4, you can see that over your shoulder there's a Barry Bonds jersey. Do you want to do this? Should Barry Bonds be in Hall of Fame today, or do you want to wait for another day? I don't know.
I would love to. I think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't think Hall of Fame voters, which I am not one, should be judging character. And Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he even took a steroid, in my opinion.
Well, allegedly took a steroid. Let's just...
Are you sitting in a Barry Bonds-like lazy boy chair that he used to rock in the
right.
locker rooms? That's what I want to know.
You'd know if I was, trust me.
Laid back.
That chair alone should be in Cooperstown.
That's a Hall of Fame chair, right. Exactly.
There should be a little glass cabinet there, and you can take a look, or maybe even sit in it for a little bit. But every single day we have more questions, and you're trying to provide answers. I know, Scott, I know it's not always easy, but we appreciate you coming on. All the best, and we look forward to crawling towards, hopefully, a baseball season. We'll see. Thank you.
Hopefully is the key word. See you, fellas.
There's Scott Mitchell, our Blue Jays reporter, and 2.5 weeks, as you pointed out, Mike, it's not exactly like you're not talking about Muncie anymore. And I think the Blue Jays, if you in a candid moment, especially if you're a coach or a manager, would like to say, I just want to put a practice together. Right. And I'm sure a lot of teams.
And know where and who and when and have that information available. And what's strange about baseball, Mark, is that baseball seems to run at a very tepid pace.
Yes.
Nothing happens quickly in baseball. Yes. Not the game.
Good change
not
the moments, in your voice there.
Not the spring training. None of it. It all is just very stretched out and they take their time and they know it's the ultimate marathon, not a sprint sport. And yet everything about what's going on right now goes against that. It is frantic. It is hectic. It is compressed and it is unusual. It is not what they're used to. So we'll see how every team, not just the Blue Jays. Now the Blue Jays have the border and where they're playing to deal with what's going on top of everything else. But every team is going through weird times. So we'll see how it all shakes out in just 2.5 weeks, because no matter what, those games are going to get played on those days, and we'll see how they go.
Yeah, and I always thought that baseball was affected the most in terms of the season being cut down to 60 games, new rules, which I'm all for, and extra innings.